The next and last stop is
Atlantic Avenue, Barclays Center.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan. It's a lot of Nets podcast.
I mean, the only Net fans you know. The only what? The only Nets fans you know.
At least they've got some self-aware.
Man. I mean, come on, look, man. Or are these guys?
Welcome back to Only Net Fans You Know podcast. I'm Peter. I'm joined by my friend and fellow Nets confidant, Charlie.
Hello, Peter. The time has come for a new working title.
Which is?
Net Redemption. Created by Pete this time around. Usually I make the titles. Pete had a good title today. We went with it. Good job, Pete. Very well done.
Let's just jump straight into it. We took a little Thanksgiving break, but we are back. And so are the Nets. They are 13-12, 7-3 our last 10. Our major injuries are to Ben and Yuta, but overall the team is really, really on an upswing. And I think the fan base would agree with me with that. Started on the West Coast. Kyrie was out. Nash was fired. Very bad loss to the Kings. They got blown out. Very bad loss to the Lakers. And then all of a sudden, they steal a win in Portland. KD miss turns into a Royce tipping for a game winner. And all of a sudden, this team just kind of took off.
I mean, then you follow it up with games with against Memphis where they don't have Ja and Bane, where you kind of get lucky. Then you get embarrassed at Philly. You know, no Harden, no Maxey, no Embiid, and you get fucking blown out. You could win against Toronto, bad loss against Indy, and, you know, another win against Portland. But, you know, we can start and talk about the Magic game. It was a 109-102 win versus the Magic. This is a game where the Nets basically won. I mean, they shot way better than the Magic.
The Nets shot 54% from the field, 32% from three. Magic shot 47% from the field, 41% from three. I feel like this game should have been a game that the Nets kind of just ran with. KD really had to put on a show, putting up 45 points. Then got hurt. And that takes us to the Wizards game, a 113-97 win. Nets had KD and Kyrie putting up 66 points, just totally dominating. KD shot 13-20. We got killed on the boards. We lost the board battle 51-35. 14 offensive rebounds for the Wizards. But the good guys held the Wizards to 25% shooting from three. And we only had 9 turnovers. Good win over the Wizards. Not to mention an 11-point fourth quarter by Kyrie. Next was the game that we went to. We had sweet tickets for. A nice 114-105 win over Toronto. A 41-17 outburst in the first by the Nets. Pretty much had this game in hand the entire game. Biggest lead was 36 points. The final score was a lot closer than what it actually was. Nets defense amazing. Holding Toronto to 29% shooting from three. Kyrie put up 27 points. We had the return of TJ Warren. Overall, just a great game. Let's just get off, you know, let's rip the Band-Aid off and just go to the Celtics game.
All right, man. Well, basically, this Celtics game was going to be a litmus test of how good we really, really were on this win, quote-unquote, little hot streak. You know, you mentioned the last 10, we were 7-3. But we lost 103-92 to the Celtics. You know, this was a game where I think the Nets had a good chance all game. They were in it all game. They lost the fourth quarter basically 28-23 scoring differential. I don't know what Jack Vaughn was doing, Pete, but he was rolling out an 8-man rotation all game. I know the Nets are banged up, but shit, man. I mean, 8-man rotation this early in the season, that just seems a little unheard of.
Absolutely. I was shocked. They played 10 guys. But I know what you're saying. There was 2 minutes left. They wound up putting like Sharp and I forgot somebody else in. But basically, you're right. 8 players for the entire game against this team. Sumner was hurt. Yuta was hurt. Ben was hurt. Still, the Nets actually cut it down to 2 points, the Celtic lead, to 2 points. And I really thought they could have stole this game. It was not meant to be. It's going to happen. They shot 40. The Nets shot 40% from the field, 34% from three. Celtics shot 43% from the field, 39% from three. And anytime the Nets had an answer, Celtics would just double down and get two more big plays. Tough loss, but you know what? I was happy with the effort against an elite team because the Celtics are the best team in the East and the best offense in basketball.
Man, when you have like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum putting up 25 plus points, down at 34 points, 10 rebounds, with a double double. I mean, it's hard to stop that. And he shot 10 of 20. It's 50%. Man, he had a good game, and Tatum had a crazy good game. 29 points, 11 rebounds. And it's crazy to think they have Malcolm Brogdon putting up 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. So they have a squad. But so do we. I just think we fell short. But we had guys like KD on our team, and he's always putting up points. So he put up 31 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 13 of 24 shooting. Always, you know, KD always, you know, shows up.
KD's got a KD.
KD's got a KD. You're right. Joe Harris, again, nice progressions from Joe Harris, 13 points. And Kyrie, man, he had a lot of points, but he was not efficient. 18 points. 7 to 21 shooting, 5 assists, 8 rebounds. Filling up the stat sheet. He's got to get, you think of a couple more of those going, Nets probably get the win here.
Yeah, it's tough when your third highest scorer is Harris and he only has 13 points. The next highest scorer, I think, had maybe 10 points for the Nets. The Nets had a rough time with the lack of, you know, available bodies. They got tired in the fourth. It was very clear. Their third quarter was really good. Their defense held the Celtics under 20 points in the third quarter, probably their best defensive quarter against talent-wise, right? Great effort. Could have stole it, but you understand why this was not going to happen. Seth Curry had a bad game. Like I said, and well, you said, Nets only had 8 players for the majority of the game. Seth Curry had 4 fouls in 3 minutes. You can't do that in a game like this.
Those are Ben Simmons numbers.
4 fouls in 3 minutes.
Oh, man. Well, I think we should move on from the Celtic game and talk about the good, Pete. What do you say?
All right. Yep, so right now, obviously, we're in December. The Nets have had 2 months of basketball. And we're starting to see trends with this team. The small sample size myth is gone. And we could start looking at these numbers and start making sense of them, right? October, they played 7 games. They went 2-5. All these games, keep in mind, were coached by Steve Nash.
Ooh.
I'm gonna read off these numbers very slowly because I want everyone to, you know, get everything down. For Nets opponents, they shot 47% from the field, 41% from three, and the Nets were giving up 120 points, right? In November, when they went 10-6, their opponents shot 43% from the field, 35% from three, but the Nets only gave up 106 points. So what's the difference? Major differences. Opponents are actually shooting 3% better from the field, but this is where this kicks in, right? -6% from three. Doesn't sound like a lot, but in the process of all these games, that's a lot of missed threes. And the Nets actually made up 14 points on the defensive side.
Yeah, man. What do you think it is? Do you think it's Jacque Vaughn's coaching? Do you think the Nets' effort for Jacque Vaughn? Do you think it's a mix of the two things? Do you think it's just better rotations? What do you think it is? I personally think it's all of the above. I mean, you got to look at all those things, and those are the main factors that changed to the defense. Is it the hustle? Yeah, I think they showed a little more hustle, but there's games where the Nets still kind of fall into their lulls against the good teams. The Nets play good against bad teams, but when they play better teams, better coach teams, it seems like they just don't have enough that to put them over the edge except pure talent. However, I think they I think on the offensive end you have to look at it like this. The Nets in October put up 47% of the field, and also in November they had 47% from the field. So what changed? Nothing from the field. But however, big change. The Nets had a plus 8 percentage swing in 3 points. They went from 33% in October under Nash to 41% under Vaughn, Pete. What happened? We don't know. They just got hot. Maybe that was it. But what do you think it is? You think it's the playing better and more hustle on defense leads to offense? I don't know. You tell me.
It could be Ben Simmons. It could be Ben Simmons possibly getting better. So now you can't just, you know, sag off him too much. Remember, in October, guys were just leaving him wide open at the three-point line. Now, yes, now when he is in the game, when obviously he's hurt now, guys aren't going to be crowding him at the three-point line. But now you have to worry that he could actually make a basket now. In October, things were a little bit shaky, right? So that could be that. Could be guys getting healthier. I'm not sure, really.
I think it could be attributed to the resurgence or the insurgence or the – just the absolute surge of a player Yuta Watanabe is.
That's actually a very good point. It could be.
Oh, like, look at it. Since he started getting more minutes, since Nash – I mean, he got some time under the tail end of Nash's tenure. But, man, since Jacque Vaughn put him as, like, a mainstay guy and before he got hurt, he was a big reason why we were winning games.
Beating the league in threes.
You know, another thing you got to look at is defensive rating. I know defensive rating is a weird stat, Pete, but, you know, in October they had 119.1% defensive rating. As November, 108.8%. That's just a recent trend, their defensive rating, but they're looking better. They're definitely looking a lot better. And the defense just seems to be more in sync, and their switches are a lot better. And they seem to be more communication.
Yeah, maybe you could attribute that to the three defense. Like I mentioned before, opponents' threes percentage went down by 6%. That could be the difference. But I think we all can agree that the Nets are playing a lot better under Jacque Vaughn, right?
Mm-hmm. I said they had the fifth best defensive rating, I think, at 111.1. So the league best is what is the league best? Like 112? Something like that?
Yeah, since Jacque Vaughn was named head coach, they have the fifth best. So this is not talking about the intern games. Keep that in mind, right? Mm-hmm. This is since the Knicks game. From the Knicks game to going into the Boston game, their defensive rating is fifth best in the NBA.
Yeah, let's fucking go.
They have the league best, 112 points per game with 51% shooting. Once again, since JV was named head coach, going into the Boston game. But I can't, like, is Nash that bad? Like, the only downtrend is that their free throw attempts have been going down.
I think the defense is really the key there, and the effort. And also, I like Jacque Vaughn in the post-game press conference more.
I don't know if that really affects the on-court. Now, the question is, why are the Nets not getting to the free throw line? I think I have the answer why. The Nets are averaging the fourth lowest drives at 39.7 drives per game in the NBA. Only Denver, Golden State, and Portland are lower. Plus, they have the seventh lowest paint touches per game. This is not something that's been changing. This is a trend that's been going on and actually getting worse. The last eight games, they're averaging 36 drives per game, lowest in the NBA. Their paint touches also going lower. Now they're averaging the fifth lowest.
I just looked it up. Third in the league in jump shooting. We have the third highest jump shooting percentage in the league. That explains it. Well, we're not going to the basket, and we don't have a guy that just, like, kind of brawls down there. Like, you know, wrestles for rebounds and goes up and puts them on the board and gets those hack fouls.
It's interesting. Under, you know, this, keep in mind, this is seven games under Steve Nash. the Nets had 26 free throw attempts per game. Since November 19, averaging seven less. So, like, I don't know if it's a, like you said, I don't know if it's the jump shots, but they were averaging a lot more. Does that mean they're driving less? I'm not really sure. I'm not sure. It looks like the whole season they've been driving, you know, at a low number, some of the lowest numbers in the league. So I don't know. I hate to say it, but I really feel like KD and Kyrie don't get the calls that they would get if they were maybe on another team. But I am biased, so, you know, I'm not sure.
They're also, I don't know, they also seem to try to draw contact more. Maybe, like, referees are a little more wary of it, and they're not more apt to call fouls. Or maybe they just hate Kyrie. Who knows? Maybe the league is just against Kyrie because of all the shit he went through. Which leads me to the next topic, Pete, is the working title for today's episode, Net Redemption. We have some Nets that are the big reasons why we kind of turned it around a little bit. Not only Jock Vaughn we can attribute to, but we can attribute to some good play of our Nets players. You know, we talked about Joe Harris a bunch of times throughout the games. And TJ Warren also, we're going to mention. But you really got to look at two guys that really turned it around for us. Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving. So since Ben Simmons kind of started horrible his first couple of games, he's really turned it around. And then, you know, obviously we know Kyrie coming off his suspension, quote unquote. Oh, he needed to show that he's, you know, he's present mentally.
I think these guys are showing redemption in different ways. Ben Simmons on the court, Kyrie off the court, right? Is Kyrie buying in? Is Kyrie going to be a distraction? It's a different type of redemption, but you're definitely right. Let's look at Ben Simmons' numbers. What was his numbers the first seven games with us?
Can we just skip those? Because those, we don't want to talk about those. Can we just go to the last
eight games? Got to show the differences.
Okay, Pete. So first seven games, Ben had 5 points, averaged a minus eight on the floor, 29 minutes, five field goal attempts a game. That's only five. That's unacceptable. 43% from the field. Less than 50% from the field when you're an inside shooter, when you're not even a jump shooter. Six rebounds, and a 46% free throw percentage. Horrible. We went over it. I'm not going to keep going. I just went over the stats, and that's it. I'm moving forward, okay? Okay, so the last eight from the Indy loss, he's been averaging 12 points, a plus six on the floor, 28 minutes per game, seven field goal attempts per game, 77% field goal percentage, seven rebounds per game, and biggest thing for me is a 61% free throw attempt increase. So it's basically improvements all around. And you know what? His defense, in my opinion, was always there. It's just getting the confidence to go up and, you know, make stuff happen on the offensive end. And you were explaining in one of the games the amount of threat this guy can be if he's just playing a little faster and playing a little more aggressive. It's a night and day difference in the whole team.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the best defenders on the team for sure. What were the major differences stat-wise?
Well, it was a plus 7 point differential, a plus 16. 16 plus minus differential. That's a major difference. Now, we always talk about the plus minus not being a real stat, but there's got to be something to it, to him being on the floor making a difference. Got to mean something there. For that big of an increase, it's got to mean something. And the biggest thing, in my opinion, is a plus 34 field goal percentage. It shows how confident he is going to the basket again. And once, like I said, once he does that, it opens the court up for everyone else on the offense.
Absolutely. I made a little mistake, so I set you up. It's plus 14 with a plus minus. So that's my mistake. I don't know how to do math. But overall, man, just a great, great increase on the field goal percentage in this time that he's, you know, been on fire. Like, can you shoot any better than he's been shooting? All these games are like 8 of 10. Like, I don't know, 5 of 7, 5 of 6. Like, it's just a great, great show of his confidence going up. Free throw percentage has gone up. Like, I love it, man. Like, I was worried about the free throws. He's right now, he's calmed down a lot of his, you know, detractors, a lot of these people that were giving him shit. Now we get to Kyrie. A little different redemption. I think we all know the story, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, we got a little bit of different redemption going on with Kyrie. We all know the story. We know all the bullshit. Now let's talk about the numbers. Since coming back, he's averaged 22 points a game on 51% shooting, almost 40% from three, three rebounds, and three assists per game. When we went to the game and every game we're watching, yeah, the Celtics game, he didn't look great. But listen, we need this guy. He's being aggressive. He's still getting the buckets he needs to get. He looks like he's a little happier playing with this team, and he's a little more comfortable playing with Jacque Vaughn. You know, the whole, we saw all the stuff happen with the, you know, the blown calls, quote unquote, where he didn't follow the plays. But it looks like, for now, he's back on track.
Yeah, we're talking about the blown calls, meaning there was a scout at these Nets games saying that Nash was waving off Nash, that Kyrie was waving off Nash, and he would do the total opposite or something that Nash wanted to do and change it up, like, you know, all that bullshit. But forget the numbers. I think what you're right on focusing on the headspace and the energy that he's bringing. Kyrie, like, let's be honest, sometimes he gets a little hero ball happy. He's fit in with this offense. Maybe it took him a game or two. I think he's averaged over 20 points after that first game that he came back. It took him a game, whatever. He's flown with this offense. That is the most important thing. Because if he's going to fit into this system, his talent that we know he could fit, the way that he could put the ball in the basket, the way he could play defense when he's like hyped and really into a game, the ceiling for this team just fucking explodes. Like, let's be honest. Sometimes he's a little hero ball happy. Sometimes he gets caught up on defense. But, hey, when this guy's locked in and he's fitting into the system, it's fucking tremendous.
I need both of these guys really come through for us, and they need to show everyone in the NBA who they are, and they need to get Brooklyn a championship. Just saying.
I like that. I definitely agree with that.
So looking a little forward, Pete.
Trade winds are blowing.
I heard the Archie blows, and the Archie blows on a man named John Collins. So we got Ian Begley of SNY saying the Nets have touched base with Atlanta on power forward John Collins. And hey, I don't know what we do to get him. I think the package would have to be Harris, Cam Thomas, and picks, right? I don't know, for the salaries to match up, because John Collins has 4 years left on his contract, and he's got a player option after the fourth. He's got $23 million the first year, $25 million, $26 million in a player option for 26. So you know he's taking that player option. And, yeah, to only match the contracts, you need to put Joe Harris and Cam Thomas and picks and stuff, right?
Well, first of all, like, if you're not familiar with John Collins, why would the Nets even want John Collins, right? Yes, he's a power forward. Yes, we need a big man, but basically the way that John Collins would fit onto this team, 25 years old, 6'9", height, 6'11 wingspan, guy that could knock down the three for his career, 55% from the field, 36% from three. He's the big man, the stretch four that we've been looking for, right? The season, not so great for him. He's averaging low numbers against his career numbers. He's hurt. He's always going to be out for two more weeks with an ankle sprain. Right now, he's shooting 48% from the field and only 21% from three. That's averaging out to about 12 points a game, seven rebounds, and a block. For his career, he usually putting up closer to 16 points, right? So it's not something that's going to be easily done, but there's a lot of high upside to a move like this. The guy's young. He's under control. The Nets need someone who's under control because of their cap situation, right? Nets aren't going to be able to go out and just get a mega free agent the way that the cap is set right now. So getting someone young who could build on his, you know, on his numbers like this would be ideal. But like you said, what are you going to do to get this guy? A 25-year-old stud is not someone who's just given away every day. Atlanta is a competing team. This is not going to be a sell-off.
And I don't know, like I said, Joe Harris, he's basically the assistant GM of the Nets. You know, so you're losing a big front office piece along with the actual player on the court. Especially seeing he's able to turn it around. He's starting to show that he's progressing, getting his shot back, getting a little more confidence and fluid in the offense. And on the other part is you have Cam Thomas, a young kid who's been really taken under the wing by KD. Would that kind of affect KD in the locker room? Who knows?
He slowed down Cam, though, of late. I don't know how you look at this.
Not so worried about the picks, but Cam and Joe, I think, would be big losses. However, like you said, a healthy John Collins is everything the Nets need and more, in my opinion, to win it for the championship pieces. But I don't know. Losing Joe, losing Cam, do you pull the trigger?
I don't think they do. Do you? You said you would?
I don't think so.
I would. Obviously, you made a joke that Joe's the assistant GM. He's not. We all know that's a joke, but yes, he's the longest tenured Net. But I don't know. The way that he kind of tightens up in the clutch situations, that mixed in, he has an $18 million contract. You can't afford to have an $18 million player on the roster not perform in the playoffs. And the Nets need a big man. We all know the problem is with rebounding with this team. I think someone who averages 8 rebounds for their career at 25 years old, who hits threes, is what this team needs. Are you going to hold back the ceiling of this team for Joe Harris, who's just coming off this surgery? I don't know. I would move him. I would do the deal. But I definitely think there is, you know, counterpoints to that.
I think it's very preliminary, and I think you kind of have to wait and see, man. I think you should give it more time with this team. Get everyone healthy and give it more time. Trust me. I think we could build something good here with this.
Yeah, it's funny enough. Last year, the Celtics at this time, with the same amount of games that we've played, guess what their record was?
Same as ours.
13-12. Yeah, were they going to be crowned Eastern Conference champions at this time last year? No.
Oh, no.
It's too early to freak out. You know that there's an issue with the big man with the rebounding, so that's something that needs to be addressed either way. But you can't crown the Eastern Conference champion, the NBA champion, in December. There's a lot of time left. Guys have to get healthy. There's moves to be made. But John Collins would be a guy that I would look into, for sure.
I'll tell you one thing before we get into the wrap-up, Pete. I definitely feel a lot better about our leadership going forward.
That's fair.
And that, so let's get into the wrap-up then. You have anything else to add?
Oh. Give us an injury update.
So we got Yuta Watanabe, which is a big-time, you know, spiritual, physical loss for us. He has a strained hamstring. Got to reevaluate on Wednesday. You know, possibly 2 more games. We'll see. I don't know. We need him back. Again, talk about getting a stretch big. He's definitely the guy that can hit the three, that's for sure. He's not a big-time rebounder, but he's a nice piece that can hustle and gets to the boards and definitely crashes and makes the right play.
You mean the guy who's leading the NBA in threes?
Come on. Stop. I know he's leading, but that's not enough sample size.
I know, but still, I'm just saying that it's a big piece missing.
Our other big piece missing, obviously, is Ben Simmons, as we've spoken at nauseam about, because it feels like he's injured every other goddamn week. Drained upper left calf. They say he's at least 3 games. They're going to reevaluate him on Sunday. So we'll see, Pete. Well, we don't have an update yet, so I'll let you know tomorrow or the next podcast. Maybe he'll be playing by then. Yeah, right.
He has to get a wrap-up. He has to get ramped up.
Yeah, 2-month ramp-up.
But I love what I saw from TJ Warren. Didn't he look, like, fresh? Like, yes, the guy hasn't played in 2 years, but it didn't look like there was a sign of rust, really.
You know, I mean, listen. He looks like he can actually help us, and he looks like if we have a full roster and he's healthy, Ben's healthy, even Yuta, excuse me, it's going to be a tough team to defend. And also, he's really good on defense. It's 60 minutes, 5-11 shooting, 10 points, 4 rebounds. Made an immediate impact as soon as he hit the court.
Yeah, JV was talking before the game that having TJ Warren healthy will be able – well, the Nets will be able to have KD get more time off. And I think that's so crucial that the Nets could give KD some time off and we just add another weapon to this team. When these guys are healthy, I love the Nets' chances. When these guys perform up to their basketball card, up to their career numbers, like this is going to be a team. We just got to see if they're going to be healthy.
What do we got coming up for some games?
Here are our upcoming games. Wednesday, December 7th, we're going to be home against the Hornets. Friday, December 9th, we're going to be home against Atlanta and Trae Young. On Saturday, December 10th, my girlfriend's birthday. Shout out to my girlfriend. I love her very much. We're going to be away at Indiana. And then on Monday, December 12th, we're going to be going to Washington, D.C. to take on the Wizards. So the Nets have 2 home games, 2 away.
I feel like we played the Pacers. And we
played them a lot.
And the Toronto Raptors, we played a shit ton. We played the Raptors 3 times already, right? And this is going to be the Pacers. We're going to have all 4 times we played the Pacers in December.
And I feel like all of them are, like, close together. All the games were played very close together. Like, 2 out of 4 games would be against the Pacers. But I'm happy. They're a good team. I'm happy to get them off the schedule.
Bad schedule design, my friend. I hate this, but we'll see. I think the Nets got to bear down, keep playing hard defense. I know the Celtics game was a bad loss, but I still thought they played pretty well. I really do. I think they can – Ben Simmons in there, Yuta Watanabe in there, TJ Warren with a few more games under his belt. I think we could really compete. I really do.
Let's face it, right? We talked about the number of players and, you know, the effort the Nets put up and running out of gas in the fourth. They almost held the Celtics the best offense in the league under 100 points. Celtics just got over 100 points. That itself is a major win. At least I think so.
All right, Pete, send us home.
Follow us on Twitter at NetFansYouKnow or YouTube. Like and subscribe. I'm going to be updating it, adding in more videos. YouTube.com/@NetFansYouKnow. And of course, the IG is the only NetFansYouKnow. Have a great day. Have a great commute. If you're at lunch, enjoy your lunch. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your night. Thank you guys for checking us out. Thank you guys for sticking with us. And we're out.
You think it was Joe Harris's decision not to bring Bruce Brown back?